West Automotive Group presents Auto Talk Radio with host Brian Bowersock. Brought to you by West Escondido, West Oceanside, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission. All part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. And now, here's your host of Auto Talk Radio, Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, here we are talking about autos. We love Auto Talk, don't we, Brendan?
We sure do. Correctamundo.
Mr. Producer Brendan, he's over here hanging out as we're talking all things cars. Hey, check this out. Pirelli's got a new DOT racing slick for the U.S. You need some of those for your car.
Pirelli.
Where'd you get that?
I have no idea. Pirelli.
All right. Well, this tire is designed, nearly slick tire is designed for SCCA and NASA events. Here's the kicker. It's DART, Department of Transportation approved. Super cool. You know, slicks, those tires have no, they're not good for the rain. It's called the P0 Trofeo Track. That said, Pirelli strongly recommends you don't use them on public roadways as they're basically a competition slick.
Yeah. I'm looking up here. Michelin is known for its durability, comfort, and all-weather performance. Pirelli shines.
Why are you laughing?
That's it. It just, it's really shiny. It's really nice looking. That's about it.
They make good competition tires. You'll get Pirelli's. Yes, they're not an all-weather tire or anything like that. Although they do make some good street tires too, I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. They're expensive too. But as far as performance-wise, they're definitely a performance tire.
But you would go to Michelin or, say, I don't know, some other companies off the top of my head.
For what?
Tires. For tires, specifically, before you go to Pirelli yourself.
Well, it depends on what you want to do. If you own a Lamborghini, you're probably going to Pirelli. If you own a if you own a Hyundai, then you're probably going to, probably not even Michelin. My favorite tire, if you want to talk about tires, just so you know, okay. My favorite tire is Hankook.
Hankook. Yep, you're right. I believe I have some on my.
They're a harder tire, and they last the most mileage. I put them on all my trucks. I love them. I love the Hankooks. So they're great tires, and you'll get usually 70,000 plus miles out of a set of them.
Okay.
So they last a long time. These soft Michelins and other performance tires, you put them on, some of them are only good for maybe 20,000. Another thing that happens with full electric cars that people don't really think of, since we're all talking about tires right now, is tires for all EVs tend to wear out fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because there's extra weight added and all that. So, and I know you're talking about the electric vehicles saving the environment, right? Where do you think all that tire wear goes to?
It's true.
Goes into the atmosphere. Minuscule particles of rubber flying all around you.
Just another thing added to that list.
Breathing them in. You're going to have black lung from rubber. So, better be careful. Right. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm hoping that that the Senate does pass that bill, honestly. I haven't heard word yet on if they did or not, our state Senate.
I don't know if they did or not yet, but
because it was supposed to be back in mid-May last time I heard. So,
yep.
But as per usual, not to get political, but our government works pretty slow on certain things, a lot of things actually. But at least the House did pass it. So we'll see where that goes. And plus, in terms of other news, like they said that the House of Representatives in the U.S., specifically the national one, passed a bill, I believe, to end the federal rebate for EVs for next year. So we'll wait and see if that deters people from even buying EVs anymore. But
yeah, I think people are leaning more towards hybrids.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, so as far
the numbers say it themselves. There's more people buying hybrids than they are buying electric vehicles, for goodness sakes.
That's true. Lexus is going to have a new RZ550E. Is a top performance model with 402 horsepower. All versions now have a longer estimated driving range. And Lexus states the yoke-style steering wheel and steer-by-wire system won't yet be offered in the U.S.
Not surprised. You want to test it out in other markets first before you bring it to the bigger market. So
that's true. You got to be safe with it.
I agree. And not to mention, I do compliment our inspections of vehicles. They're a lot more thorough, I would say, than other countries for sure, whether you're trying to sell it here in America or not. So that's why Asia has such a really bad smog issue over there. So,
yep. Here's a great thing. You guys are going to love this. Volvo's EX90's linear module fries smartphone camera in viral video. It's out there. Check it out if you get a chance. Startling video shows a Volvo's EX90's LiDAR system. The LiDAR system is the camera that's in the windshield.
Mm-hmm.
It's a style of camera. It's called a LiDAR. Zapping a smartphone's telephoto camera, revealing a little-known risk of next-gen automotive tech. So here's what happens. Recently captured the moment a LiDAR system fried an iPhone 16 Pro Max's telephoto camera module mid-recording. The footage shared by Redditor, whatever his name is, clearly shows the moments that the LiDAR module atop a Volvo EX90 damaged the sensor inside the smartphone that's used to record video. LiDAR, short for light detection and ranging, is the visual cortex of many modern autonomous systems, and it is. It works by firing pulses of laser light, often in their near-infrared spectrum, and measuring the time it takes for them to bounce off objects and return. This helps create precise 3D maps of the surrounding environment. And that all is ADOS. We talked about that a few weeks ago, right?
Weeks
we were talking
ago,
about
yeah.
ADOS. I was
at the convention in Phoenix.
Yeah, Auto Care Association.
Auto Care Association, excuse me.
Well, it's basically a convention. We all get to, it's all the automotive aftermarket professionals and talking about different things and how. So anyway, the LiDAR on these cars can damage your iPhone. Another reason to have a Galaxy. I'm just saying. That'll be a debate for forever.
Oh,
huh?
Gosh.
So, anyway, I don't know if it'll damage Galaxy, though. So who knows? But I will tell you this. It apparently can damage the camera sensors in a iPhone 16, I believe it said it was. So there's just some cool information to have, right?
That's right.
Everybody should have a little. So it's all good. Very interesting stuff. I love car stuff. There's always great car things going on.
Absolutely. Every single week.
Every single week, something's great, you know, that we can talk about. Reimagines the classic Jaguar Type E. We have a Jaguar we fixed in Escondido. It's older school. It's the two-door coupe. As far as that, I can't remember which one it is. Convertible, though. It was, we picked it up for an older lady. She was in a retirement home. She wanted it fixed. It had been sitting for a while. She authorized. We got it all fixed. And now we can't get a hold of her. So,
hopefully if she's listening, you know.
Yeah, if she is, please call in because we're going to have to lien sale the car is what's going to happen if I can't get a hold of her because you can only sit on these cars for so long, right?
Right.
And as far it's in nice shape too.
Do you know why they call it a chicken coop?
Call what a chicken coop?
Do you know why they call it a chicken coop?
A Jaguar?
No, just in general, just a chicken coop. Do you know why?
Why they call a chicken coop a chicken coop?
Yeah, exactly. I want to
know. No, but you're probably going to tell me.
Yeah, I will, absolutely. It's because it has two doors. Now, if it had four doors, then it would be a chicken sedan. So there you go. That's where I add the...
Brendan's, funny story for the day or whatever you want to call it.
Joke of the day. Thank you very much.
Joke of the day.
Yeah.
Brendan loves to send me dad jokes. There you go.
Yes.
Yep. So, good stuff. So, a chicken coop is a coop because it has two doors. Otherwise, it'd be a chicken four-door.
Sedan, yeah.
Chicken sedan. I'll have to try to remember that. I probably won't remember it. I'll say to myself later, what's that dumb joke that Brendan told me?
You know how, so when you come close to Thanksgiving time, you'll send out recipes. You should just do a whole month and just go back to my old emails and copy paste the dad jokes.
Automotive dad jokes. Here we go. So all good stuff. Yeah, we could do that for sure. All right, we're going to jump in here a bit on gasoline direct injected vehicles. So I'll tell you, we started using direct injection some years back as far as that goes. I'll tell you what, the production of horsepower and the power you can get out of a motor direct injected versus like a port injected motor is amazing. So you just get a better complete combustion, burn, and performance out of a direct injected motor. Now, that being said, there are some other things that came along with this. We had started having some valve carbon problems and some other stuff. So there are some things that are very important you do to keep these in good working order. But we're going to talk about some of the great things that direct injected does as far as if a port system is compared with a carburetor system, it's even that it has some advantages. So as we transition through fuel systems, I mean, back in the day, almost everything was carbureted. By 1980, around 86 to 88, everything started to transition into fuel injection. We started with what was called throttle body injection, which was replaced the carburetor and had two injectors in it, that or one sometimes depending on the size of the engine. But it was not a carburetor anymore. It used a throttle position sensor to tell the computer how far it was open, and therefore it changed that along with a mass airflow or MAP sensor, manifold absolute pressure. Using that data along with how far the throttle's open could curtail the amount of injection time pulse width the injectors were open and dumping fuel inside to the motor for a proper burn. Even throttle body injection was way better than carbureted. I mean, once you get past that, we always want vehicles in what we call fuel control, which their fuel control does a couple different things here. It optimizes your fuel efficiency, optimizes your performance, and reduces emissions is one of the big things we're always working on too, obviously being here in the state of California, but should be for all over the world. Because what are we reducing? Greenhouse gases. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, hey, that being said, didn't somebody just come out that had been a longtime environmentalist and say that all this environmental push that they've been doing as far as in the government was just a bunch of malarkey?
I believe it. We are promoting a movie on our stations that was done by Larry Elder about this situation too, about the EVs and how dangerous they are for the environment. I don't remember the name of it, but I highly, highly suggest people watch it because it literally gives point by point, and even it gives the other side saying, hey, what does the other side think? And it actually it doesn't do the whole editing where they
allows
make the other side.
Everybody to give their point of view.
Exactly, yeah.
Freely.
But it truly opens your eyes to show how harmful this situation is for the environment, for EVs. It's called Electric Vehicles, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. So currently it has a 8.8 out of 10 on IMDb. So that means that fans are loving this movie already. So, nice. And it just goes again to show you that the EV debate is, it's still very controversial, but, it shows that, you know, we want to protect this as much as possible. We really, really want to protect our world as much as possible.
Of course.
And EVs aren't the way. And until we actually have an infrastructure where we can find an environmentally way, we shouldn't be pushing it on people like this. It's not right at all. So that's what I got to say about it, at least.
So, and you know what gets convoluted here when you're talking about all this stuff is why it's being pushed sometimes. If it's great for the environment, great. But unfortunately, we find that somebody somewhere is getting their pockets lined sometimes, or this is good for them somehow, versus being good for the environment. If it's great for the environment, great. I fully think that we should work in that direction. But I do think that some of this agenda gets pushed and it's not so great for the environment. It starts becoming great for some people. So be very careful with that, such as electric vehicles. You know? So that'd be a great thing to watch for sure. Hey, I also wanted to, there's a new production spec D Tommaso P72 coming out. You're going to need one of these, Brendan.
Am I?
You're going to need one of these cars. Little Russie'd love to ride in it.
Okay.
500 horsepower, or 700 horsepower, sorry. It's a beautiful car. Looks like a kind of like a Lamborghini, but even more beautiful. I'd hate to think what these things cost. We're going to get you one.
So
you can test drive it, yeah.
Oh, to test drive, I thought to keep.
Oh, you could get the Nula Hypercar V12 with a manual in it. Oh, D Tommaso's got a P900 also, mm-hmm. V12, 12,000 RPM car. This stuff's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know if you've been noticing in the news as of late, too. A lot of car companies are actually moving their facilities, or at least making other cars, to the U.S. So already Nissan's doing it with the Sentra. Honda's doing it for the CRVs. And I thought I saw one more company just recently saying that they're moving all their vehicles over there. I can't remember.
Where are they moving their vehicles to?
No, to America, to help build the cars to make it cheaper. Oh, no. It was just in general British Motors. They've gone down 10% in tariffs just recently, too. So.
Yeah, well, those tariffs are going up and down as he's making deals on all this stuff.
It's true.
Yeah, you know.
Did you hear that there was parts stolen from a Ford factory?
Why?
Because you could make so much money off of it, but it's not legal, obviously. Four people were arrested for allegedly stealing new Ford parts, which were reportedly taken to third-party auto shops and then sold on eBay. It says here the parts
got to be careful about all that stuff on eBay.
Yeah, the parts were reportedly stolen from a Michigan factory, including one that was building the Ford F-150 and Mustang. Police say the theft ring would move the parts to third-party auto shops before selling the goods on eBay. This was out in Detroit, obviously. The Mustang is being built in Flat Rock, and the Ranger and the Bronco were being built in Wayne. Dearborn was building the vehicles building the F-150s over there. Mm-hmm. So it was four or three different facilities that they were stealing parts from.
Must have been people that worked there.
That's correct. All four of these people were former employees, or are now currently
former. Yeah, well, yeah, now they're probably in jail.
Yeah, they are in jail, yeah.
They're employed in a rock yard. Not very smart. Yeah. Don't do that stuff. Bad idea.
The charges include grand theft, criminal enterprise, and racketeering.
Jeez. Well,
I haven't heard that last one before. Racketeering.
What happened when you start a criminal enterprise? It's you don't know what racketeering is?
A set of illegal activities aimed at commercial profit that may be disguised as a legitimate business deal.
Correct.
And all there is pictures of Al Capone and
yes, they were they were found guilty of racketeering.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard that term in either A, a long time, but B, mostly just because, again, it's not really a crime that's often out in the public, I guess, exactly. Or at least publicized in news. So
it is not. No. It is not. No. So, yeah, there you go. There you have it for sure. Good stuff, man.
Yeah.
Good stuff that they got caught.
For sure.
They don't need to be stealing parts. Yeah, the whole, I tell you what, if you break down the tariff, things are interesting. So a few weeks back, I said I was at the Auto Care Association. They also had for parts providers and things like that, they had tariff calculators to determine. But it's depending on how things are labeled. Not all auto parts are labeled as auto parts. So, and not everything, you know, like some power steering pumps are left out, and just so every part had to be labeled to how it fell in this tariff. Mm-hmm. Some do, some don't. It's very interesting. So, and it's hard to stay on top of. I'm glad I'm not a shipper. I'm not somebody importing.
It's true.
I'll tell you what, those guys' things are up and down, up and down, up and down.
You know, speaking of which, I was going to read this quick story too before we hit a commercial here. Colorado passes law to officially allow, I believe it's pronounced K-Cars, K-E-I, starting in 2027.
What is that?
These cars are a class of small four-wheel vehicles from Japan. They can be brought into the U.S. under the 25-year import rule. Until now, Colorado lacked K-specific regulations.
Oh, these are like made in China or something.
Japan.
Are they made in Japan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Creating a bit of gray area for owners. It says here that HB 25-1281 is the name of the rule. K vehicles are now road legal in the state and put the necessary framework for titling, registration, and use. The law will officially go into effect on July 1st, 2027. So K is short for K-judusha, a Japanese term that translates to light vehicle.
It's like a little, they make little pickup trucks and stuff like that that you'd like sometimes see running around a factory kind of looking like thing.
Yeah, they cannot be driven, at this time they wouldn't be able to drive over 55 miles per hour, but with this new law now they can, so they could be driven legally and above 55, so.
Yeah, so there are some being sold in Hawaii already.
Yeah, it says here K-cars are allowed on public roads in 29 other states. California is one of those states, for sure.
Interesting, so. Like they show one mini truck, small but mighty, like Suzuki makes one too.
Mm-hmm.
Little four-wheel drive off-road kind of looking things.
So far, only 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, 8, 9 states have completely prohibited these cars from being registered or driven in their state.
I don't know why. I mean, they let some. Anyway, I know somebody that's got a tuk-tuk with a license plate on it.
Mm-hmm. It says here they're mostly used specifically for farming and agricultural use. Anyways,
yeah,
so.
They are. They're little trucks. They can go all kinds of places. Yeah.
These states that don't allow it, I don't know if they do that much farming anymore, except for two of them. Because Vermont, I don't think they do any farming really.
In Vermont,
yeah,
they don't have a whole
nothing in Oregon or New Mexico, Nevada, Maryland, and Connecticut. The two that I do question quite a bit, Georgia. I know that's a big farming community over there for sure, and Iowa, and again, huge farming community for sure. That's like their number one kind of business.
Gotcha. And just so you understand out there, everybody listening, the size of these trucks, Kia vehicles have a strict size limit. They are no longer than 134 inches and no wider than 58 inches.
Mm-hmm.
So think of that. I mean, that gives you kind of an idea of what we're talking about in the size of these little things. So Colorado officially allowed key cars starting in 2027 is what it says here. So did you see that?
Yes, I did see that too.
Somebody was trying to get these things in. But they do make little vans too, little vans, little pickup trucks. So very interesting.
Now it's time for you to study up on K-cars now.
No thanks. They're just little cars. They got little motors and stuff. Part of the reason they may have been outlawed is the emissions on them.
A lot of times
little vehicles struggle with emissions. So they may never be legal in California because the emissions here in California. So we'll have to see. But if you get one licensed outside the state, you could put right in here with it maybe.
Here's what it says here. They said they had an outright ban on them and could have prevented registration for other non-traditional vehicle types. DMV arguing it was unnecessary and K-cars were already illegal in its view. I'm just trying to see if there's a specific reason on why these cars... the law also clarifies how emissions testing will work for K-cars. Instead of being subjected to a dynamo meter test, the state's emissions agency will use a static two-speed idle test.
For California?
No, this is for Colorado specifically. It already passed in California. I'm assuming Colorado just based its new bill based on how California standards are.
Probably. But emission-wise, we lead the world when it comes to car testing, I believe.
So. I believe it.
But okay. But these cars are all going to have to be OBD2 compliant and all that stuff if they're going to come in here and be actually registered for the road. I can tell you that.
Again, I said it 2 weeks ago that honestly, when it comes to the inspections of our vehicles and how well we keep an eye on smog, we really do a great, great job here in America, honestly. So
we do.
Yeah.
We do, for sure. So we've reduced a lot of emissions. If you ever watch the emissions video from back in the 60s and 70s in L.A., the haze that overhood. Now, that came, that wasn't just cars, but it was a lot of different things that created that, and they reduced it.
It's true. It's true.
Anyway. All right, folks, we're going to have to take our break here real quick. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego 1170 and 96.1 FM. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, as we're talking all things cars, because Auto Talk is what we do.
Correctamundo.
Correctamundo, as Brendan likes to say. I do want to remind folks that Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which consists of West Escondido Automotive and Transmission up at 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido. AAA approved and STARS certified, taking care of folks up there in North County Inland for over 32 years. And West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission, 844 North Johnson Avenue in El Cajon. AAA approved, taking care of folks out there in East County for over 12 years. Along with West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission, 8027 Balboa Avenue, right over there in Central San Diego. Taking care of folks over there for over 8 years. And West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, right in the Golden Triangle, right across the freeway from where we're sitting right now, huh?
That's right.
That's right. 5726 Miramar Road in East Cape Mall. AAA approved and STAR certified, taking care of folks over there for over 6 years. And last but not least, West Oceanside Automotive and Transmission up North County Coastal, 229 South Coast Highway, AAA approved, taking care of folks up there for over 2 years. So all of us at the West Automotive Group, me, myself, and my employees come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio for one simple reason. We all believe in the same philosophy. We never put money ahead of people. Stop in to have your vehicle service repair and find out what quality automotive service and repair is all about for sure. The West Automotive Group is proud to offer 6 months no interest for your vehicle service and repair needs on approved credit. Just ask one of my managers or riders helping you out how you get a card for yourself, and you can use it anytime your vehicle needs service or repair. It gives you 6 months no interest, so great way to go. Also recommend if you're having a concern with your vehicle, whether it be a transmission concern, as far as that, drivability, engine concern, overheating concern, you know, anything like that, AC concern, something that needs diagnosed. I always tell folks the best money ever spent is on a qualified technician at a quality facility to diagnose your vehicle. That is the best money on any repair spent. So if you don't get that part right, the rest of it's going to go so wrong. So it's good to get your vehicle in, jump on westautomotivegroup.com, make an appointment. We'll get you all diagnosed properly, prevents unwanted parts replacement, and saves you a ton of money in the long run. We also offer free shuttles to or from work or home, and we have rental partners nearby us that we offer rental cars. We can get you all set up if you need a car at any of our five locations. You can go to westautomotivegroup.com and follow us on Facebook, X, or Instagram. X, better known as Twitter before, but now called X. We put out little tips and tweets all the time. You can also, from there, check out the Auto Man segments. Go right to our YouTube channel, where I'm the Auto Man for Fox 5 and the CW News. Great stuff there. Or Auto Talk Radio, where we post all our podcasts. You can also check up and get all the podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pandora, Deezer, Spotify, iHeart, or Radio.com. And they're always there for your listening pleasure. And you can get them on the go. And great stuff to enjoy, for sure. So, anything you'd like to add to that, Brendan?
Hey, Brian, I have two car shows I would like to read, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, go for it.
All right.
Let's let everybody know what's going on.
Let's go up to Chino Hills first, because this one, I know for sure, Dave Stahl, would love this one. This is the Friends of Steve McQueen Car and Motorcycle Show.
Off. Steve McQueen used to be awesome in the movies.
I mean, the amount of times every week he comes on the air, Dave Stahl, and says, guess which Steve McQueen movie I watched? I'm like, every single one, basically, because you keep rewatching them over and over.
Didn't he do one that was called The Bounty Hunter, where he ended up with a Trans Am that they threw dynamite and blew the Trans Am up as brand new as a rental car or something?
I think so. I'll take a look at that one here, The Bounty Hunter, starring Steve McQueen. Let's see. There was a TV show with that. Oh, no, it was just called The Hunter.
Oh.
But you got it correct, 100%. So.
Yeah, he was out hunting bad guys.
That's right. So Friends of Steve McQueen Car and Motorcycle Show is an automotive gathering and commemorative dinner held in to raise funds for Boys Republic, a private, nonprofit, non-sanctuarian community for at-risk boys and girls at the ages of 13 through 17. This is a 501c3 organization. This is going to be up in Chino Hills, and the party and gala is going to be on May 30th, which nice. Already passed already. So the show itself, car show is today and tomorrow. It's both days. Yep. So you can check those out. For more information, go to SteveMcQueenCarShow.com.
Cool.
Last one I want to mention is the Classic Cruisers Canyon Cruise. This is going to be at Canyon RV Park. This will be tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. All the proceeds go to help out Patriots and Paws. If you're not familiar with that, that is a veteran service to help them get some service dogs to them, those who can't afford it. So gotcha. Very, very good cause as well, too. So,
very cool.
Yeah. Interesting thing. There's a guy I record with later on in the day after your show.
Mm-hmm.
He is partnered up with this nonprofit organization who helps people with service dogs, but specifically they're trained by the prisoners. In our state prisons.
Okay.
Those who show
a program
good,
somewhere.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. So it's a program mm-hmm. where if you have really good behavior, you get to train those service dogs. It's so interesting. You get to keep an eye on the prisoners to make sure they're obviously doing what they're supposed to. But it's such a interesting thing. I would have never thought to have ever done that kind of program, but apparently it's very successful, and a lot of people have done very, very well with their service dogs after their program is done too from there. So
nice.
Yeah, shout out to that. I'll look up the name of it later and I'll tell you guys next week on the show on what that name of that program is, but it's really, really cool. Nice. So today we're talking about direct injected gasoline vehicles.
We are talking about that,
the benefits and stuff like that.
Do you know anything about that?
Well I did not know that there's cleaners for certain parts of these things, like, for example,
different kinds of cleaners.
Yeah, like intake valve cleaners. Yeah. I didn't even know that.
That's a service we do. We recommend yearly if you have a direct injected vehicle to keep carbon buildup on the intake valves to a minimum.
Yes,
it's called an induction service and injector cleaning service. So, and it helps reduce all that carbon buildup. If you do that yearly, you probably won't have to ever pull the intake and blast it with walnut shells.
Okay, so you want to? So this guy online is suggesting to do it every 10,000 miles. You don't think that often? Then it sounds like like just a once a year.
Once a year is good. Yeah. Depending on what you drive. Most people drive 12 to 15,000 miles a year, which is fine.
Yeah. So 10,000 is kind of close, maybe.
But is he just saying to dump this stuff in the tank?
No. He just says a few things. He says, first off, that direct injections positives, it gives you a better fuel economy in general. If your car
more
has
performance, lower emissions,
If your car is hesitating or stalling when in cold or while it's warming up, it's definitely time to clean those intake valves. He suggests a certain company. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say it or not, but he does say use intake valve cleaner. Say clean them every 10,000 miles, he says specifically.
We use BG. The reason why we use BG, it's only for professionals, and it works the best as far as that goes. And do an induction service once a year is a great way to go. Keeps everything clean and that removed. But what he's saying, the reason it has those issues, misfire stalls like that, especially when cold, because what happened is that carbon absorbs some of the fuel and makes it a lean burn, and therefore you can end up with a lean misfire and drivability concerns, idle concerns, things like that, especially when the vehicle's cold. But as the carbon buildup continues, it can continue on to the vehicle and when during operating temperature.
Okay. So, is BG an American-made company, too?
I believe so, yes.
Nice. I could tell you off the air on what company he was saying, and you could or nay it.
BJ is the only one I use. So.
Yeah.
So as far as that goes, but you can't, as if you want to try stuff on your own, you can't buy that. So you'd have to buy something else. But I strongly recommend having it professionally done because there's also tools that go along with it that help atomize it and clean the everything up as far as that goes.
Absolutely. Another thing he mentions afterwards is if your car gets hesitation after fully warmed up, you should clean the mass flow air sensor. And again, I didn't know there was a mass airflow sensor cleaner too as well.
Electronics cleaner, because you don't want to use anything that's corrosive or damaged to it. Be very careful with that. Usually you clean a mass airflow sensor and it dies in short order.
True. He literally says right after here, keep in mind when you're using this cleaner, make sure there's absolutely no residue on the sensor at all. It can really damage it as well. So yep. you got it on spot on.
It's my second day being an automotive technician. I'm kidding.
And he also suggests cleaning it every 30,000 miles. The mass flow air sensor part. So
yeah, well, there you go.
Is that also sounds about right?
Yeah,
too?
No.
No. Oh, okay.
I would not recommend cleaning the mass airflow sensor unless it gets really dirty. But usually that's because you haven't replaced the air filter regularly.
Very
so
true.
My suggestion to you is replace your air filter as needed regularly, and you won't have to worry about those concerns.
Okay.
Okay.
There you go.
So that's what we're going to run with today. That's what we're going to say. I'm just saying.
No, you're good. You're good. I love the way you're answering these certain things. Again, we discussed this before about me reading off of internet boards. They're not the most accurate.
Oh, yes, thank.
You're clearly pointing out the fact that
not the best place to diagnose your car.
Exactly.
That's for sure.
Again, why are you using a cleaner when obviously if there's going to be residue, it could damage it even further and cost you more money in the long run.
And you shouldn't need to clean a mass airflow sensor too much, unless, like I said, you're getting contamination through. Now, what will cause those if, not servicing your PVC system causes a lot of concerns as far as that goes. Not servicing your PVC system also, and not changing your oil on regular intervals also will affect the buildup of carbon in that.
Mm-hmm.
So I know a lot of manufacturers say 10,000 miles. I'd never do that on a car I own. 5,000 miles, no matter what. Full synthetic, 5,000 miles, mm-hmm. You're good. 5,000 miles or 6 months, and keep that car in good working order.
But you see how everything's so kind of intertwined?
It's all intertwined.
Exactly. So when one thing is off its course, it's going to cause a whole chain of events on top of that, too. So,
absolutely.
And this doesn't have to just deal with the specifically fuel direct a fuel injected engine as well.
Yeah.
Again, this intertwines with other vehicles as well. So it all kind of coordinates. I want to be like, do you remember It's Always Sunny? By any chance, it's a comedy show.
Isn't it sunny in Seattle or something like that?
It's always sunny in Philadelphia.
Is that what it was?
That's what it was. There's this character and he has like red strings all around his room. He's like, see, everything's connected. Everything. I feel like that guy here.
That was kind of a strange sitcom, but yes.
I think it's a really funny sitcom at the same time. Though,
well, so. We know about your sense of humor, so it's okay. We'll allow you to have that one.
All right.
It's all good. So, we're going to jump back here real quick, though, as we're talking about engines where we started. We started with, as far as fuel injection-wise, carburetors don't hold the air-fuel ratio close to the stoichiometric. There's a word for you, stoichiometric. You know what that means?
No, I wouldn't say
that. So stoichiometric air-fuel is like perfect air-fuel ratio, and they came up with 14.7 to 1. 14.7 parts air to 1 part fuel. And that's where all our electronic control and fuel injection, we try to hold a car in there pretty close.
Can I quickly read you the Oxford definition of stoichiometric?
Sure, Oxford it.
Relating to or deriving from stoichiometry or stoichiometrics. That is the worst definition I've ever heard.
The only definition it gives?
That's the only definition it gives in the Oxford Dictionary.
I guess you got to go find
what
the other
two mean. I am
going
to go to the Oxford Dictionary Company, whoever, like, whatever.
Just put a response note on there.
Terrible. Absolutely. If I wanted to look up how to forget something, I'll look up forget. There you go. Thanks, Oxford.
Forget. Can you look up forget?
I forgot.
There you go. See, that makes it all good. But anyway, back to there. Therefore, these engines have high emission values and low efficiency that are carbureted. Electronic control port injection systems instead of fuel system with carburetor have been used since the 1980s, as we were discussing, late, mid to late 80s. and fuel injection systems, induced air can be metered precisely, and the fuel is injected in a manifold to the air amount. And then we use oxygen sensors, or better known as lambda sensors, in the exhaust to hold the air-fuel ratio at a stable value. Very important to the whole system there, as far
very
as
very much, goes. Very much.
Yeah. As far as that goes, we're getting a bunch of cracking. You got a fire started over there?
I was drinking water. Sorry, I was putting the lid back on my water bottle. Sorry, everybody.
Sorry, everybody. So as this goes through, though, you know, we've gone from carbureted, we've gone to throttle body injection. Then we went to what's called port injection with the injectors for each cylinder, but right outside of the where the intake valve is. And now direct ejected, where the injector, like a diesel, is directly in the combustion chamber. And therefore, that's why we get better fuel efficiency, better atomization, better burn, better performance, lowered, reduced emissions from this.
Better throttle response, I would say.
Oh,
too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everything performance-wise is way better.
Yes.
And there's a lot we can talk about in this, but I mean, really, that's what it comes down to. And we'll run through a couple different things. They have done some different things with direct injection these days, because they had some concerns with idle wasn't exactly perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Off idle, though, of course, was amazing with everything. So a couple things that they've done to help address that and make it a better system, and also help reduce some of the carbon buildup that we were experiencing right after we went to direct injection. So we're going to come back and talk about that just shortly. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego, 1170 and 96.1 FM in North County. And we will be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. I appreciate you joining us, as we're having loads of fun over here, right, Brendan?
That's right, with a lot less carbon buildup this time around.
With a lot less carbon buildup this time around. That's exactly it. We're talking about direct injection. Do want to remind folks, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. They are the highest quality batteries out there. We don't stock nor sell any other battery, unless there's not an Interstate available, but that's very uncommon. But Interstate is the number one technician recommended battery worldwide. So that is our number one go-to, is Interstate Batteries. And we do stock them at the West Automotive Group. If you need a battery for your vehicle, jump on westautomotivegroup.com. Make an appointment at all five locations, or any of the five locations. Get your vehicle in and we'll get you an Interstate installed. If you need a battery for any other reason, check out Interstate Batteries of San Diego at their storefronts at 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar, and La Mesa at 70th and University. Interstate Batteries, a battery for every single need. How do you like that stuff?
I love Interstate Battery. I have one in my car.
I hope so.
The battery went out. I was still under warranty. Customer service was great. Can't complain about it one bit.
Yeah,
They're really, really awesome people.
Yep, yep. So, and we install a lot of Interstates at the West Automotive Group. So,
if you had a nickel for every time you installed an Interstate,
you'd be a rich man. Nickel. That's so funny.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yep, yep, yep.
So, I do have one quick question for you.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, about direct engine.
Sure. Direct fuel injection, not engine.
Direct injection engines. Yes.
All right, spit it out.
Are they a little bit more known to be for engine knocking here and there?
The injectors are louder, so not engine knocking necessarily.
Okay.
But you can sometimes hear them, yes.
Okay, gotcha. Yep, okay. Yep,
they've squashed that a lot now, but in the beginning, yes.
Oh, okay. So that just comes with the technology over time, basically.
It did, and, yes.
And correct.
Yeah, correct. Correct. So what I was going to talk about, though, is we kind of wind this down, is the fact that so direct injected, we have an injector that's in actually sticks into the combustion chamber.
Mm-hmm.
So it's inside there where the whole combustion process and burning takes place. So it has to be done. It's at a lot higher fuel pressure.
Okay.
It's extremely high fuel pressure. So when working on a direct injection system, you need to be aware of that and be careful with that. But we've also now added some of these have port injectors on top of those,
right,
which are just outside. And what these port injectors do, a couple things. The idle, they smooth out the, for the idle situation, adding just a little more fuel because it idle is super important and removes the kind of little bit of roughness that direct injects in the first direct injected vehicles felt, as far as that goes. Second thing it does, if you get a direct injector that fails, the port can take over and the vehicle can still run. So it's kind of a backup system. Third thing that it does is having a port injector allows actual raw fuel to now flow across the intake valve, not just air and rollback, which was creating a lot of carbon. So it's now helping to more reduce the carbon buildup in a direct injection system, mm-hmm. which is very helpful. So a couple things that, like I said, they've added to it and made it even better as far as that goes. But that's like anything on a car. I will tell you this. If you want performance, you want a direct injection. You drove, I like the 2.3 liter EcoBoost turbo motor I have in the Ford Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
That motor back in the day it was a good little motor, but it wasn't a super strong motor unless you turbocharged it. Direct injected turbocharged, that thing is crazy. That thing has more get up and go than my 5.4 liter V8 I had in my F-250. No question about it. Mm-hmm. So. And with that little truck, it's just a zinger. Zing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, do you? Really?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Okay,
I do.
Good. But my point to that is, yes, it makes a big difference performance-wise. So in most vehicles have transitioned to direct injection, even gasoline vehicles. There are some out there that still are not, but those would be port-injected vehicles. So as far as this goes, it helps with everything also, like we were saying, reducing rich conditions, reducing emissions, extending the life of other components like the catalytic converter because we're in better fuel control all the time, mm-hmm. therefore less is going through it. So all of these are benefits of the direct injected vehicle, mm-hmm. as far as that goes.
And again, point out the performance of the vehicle, like again, the throttle response.
Astronomical compared to everything else, mm-hmm. for sure. But I mean, you can look, that there is so much that goes into this whole system. But I do want to stress caution once again, on GDI engines, gasoline direct injected, the fuel, just like the diesels, is operating at a high pressure, and you need to let the pressure off before you ever work on the system. When I say high, I mean up in the 1,000 PSIs ranges versus, you know, normal fuel injection like port injection operates at anywhere from like 26 to 38 PSI, 42 PSI max. So around those areas. So some up to 50. But my point is still a lot lower than a direct injected vehicle. So make sure that if you're going to work on your own direct injected vehicle, that you're cognizant about this and pay attention and don't get yourself in a situation that'll spraying high pressure fuel over a hot motor tends to end up in flames.
True.
So
not to mention, direct injected, they usually work better, or at least their technology works better with smaller engines. So imagining the pressure build up even in a smaller engine, even more so.
Correct.
You know, that's insane. So
correct. So, yep, one of those things for sure. Yeah, good stuff. Yeah. Good stuff as far as that goes.
Very quickly before we head out, did you hear about the EPA is doing right now for, I guess, a feature to vehicles these days?
No.
They want to get rid of the stop-start technology. They find that it's actually hurting the environment more. They're specifically looking at like how you're at a stop sign and then go back instead of like a red light situation. Mm-hmm. I personally, again, I've never had an issue with it. It never has annoyed me.
Do you use
me.
It?
I only ever had it in rental vehicles. It's never annoyed me.
I turn it off.
You do?
And yeah. I have it in my truck, but as soon as I get in, I hit the button and turn it off. Well, it's a lot of wear and tear on the poor starter and motor.
Well, I'm renting the vehicle. I couldn't care. Now, if you own the vehicle, yes.
What about the poor guy that's going to buy that when they turn it into auction? That's why you don't buy rental cars, because they've all been driven like they were stolen.
Thank you. So you're in. It sounds like you're in favor of the EPA getting rid of this idea of the stop start.
I think it's an annoying thing. To me, it is. I turn it off. We live in a hot place, and the AC shuts off too when the motor shuts off too. So I don't like that.
I understand. According to the EPA's old website. This is before their brand new head is in there, which is Lee Zeldin, I think is his name. Yep. Before that, they mentioned how stop-start actually improved fuel economy by 5%.
Yeah, that's what they said.
So, yeah.
But I don't think it improved emissions, just fuel economy.
I don't think it improved emissions at all, actually, either. Yeah. It would make sense it doesn't improve it that way. So.
Yep. So, one of those things. But we're always trying to make cars better, right?
Right.
That's the whole idea. Performance-wise, emission-wise, fuel control-wise.
He also mentions, by the way, Lee Zeldin, he also mentioned how it doesn't work, or it's very terrible for the economy, or I should say for the environment when you're in traffic as well. Because, again, stop. Going, now you got to turn it back on. Here we go again. That sort of stuff.
So. Yeah, especially like in Southern California, when you're stuck in a traffic jam. You mean?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Especially in LA. Oof.
Yeah. Well, I would think if you're smart, you'd turn that off if you get in a traffic jam, because
you'd be surprised.
Otherwise, your air conditioning's going to be coming and going all the time.
It's true. You'll be surprised at what Southern Californians do with their vehicles.
No, I'm not. I work on them all the time. I'm not surprised what they do. It's crazy.
Even in the rain, I swear to you people, when you see rain, you're like, I think I need to drive faster in the rain for some reason. I just can't put my finger. Stop it.
You make a good point as we're coming up. If you haven't replaced your wiper blades, you're going to need to do so. They get smoke checked about once a year here because of that heat and temperature.
Oh yeah,
and the sun just destroys it. Sun destroys everything pretty much when it comes to that. It does. I mean, when
you're right.
Paint, you know, rubber stuff, discolors things.
My my skin, because I get sunburned all the time. So just make sure you get some sunscreen on, people.
You got it. Just like your car, keep it protected. You got to wax it.
That's right.
Anyway. All right, San Diego and everybody else out there, we really appreciate you joining us for this segment of Auto Talk Radio. As always, hope you have a wonderful, safe weekend. And until next week, keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up. This has been Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego, 1170 and 96.1 FM in North County. We'll catch you next Saturday.
For answers to all your automotive questions, tune in every week at this same time for Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock. To learn more about Brian, become a guest or sponsor of the show, or if you have additional questions, visit thewestautomotivegroup.com. That's thewestautomotivegroup.com, and click on Auto Talk Radio. Join us again next week for more Auto Talk.